Part 10, entitled The Beginning of the End, a time all the prisoners of war have been dreaming of.
February the 15th and 16th. Having settled down in our camp in Luckenwald, we had a big reorganisation of our block. Beds were moved out so as to spread them around the room a bit. Also, everybody reorganised into messes of 20 and moved, much bitching all round, although I came off better with a middle bunk instead of a bottom. Protecting Power representative here today. Let's hope he can do something to improve our lot. February the 17th to 20th. Despite the conditions, days seem to be passing pretty quickly. Bread ration cut today to 1/7 of a loaf per day, owing to transport difficulties, so the goons say. But we got a ration of straight porridge in the afternoon, which went down a treat. In fact, afterwards, everybody was in favour of bread cut in bread rations. On Saturday, we bashed a tin of bully with our spuds, and on Sunday made a really wizard bread pudding by steaming it for 2 hours on the little chip stove we made. It tasted as good as Christmas pudding in the circumstances. We did another one like it yesterday. It's definitely the best way to cook bread puddings. Don't know why we hadn't thought of it before when we had the stuff. Stayed up late the other evening to steam another bread pudding and witnessed a Mozzie raid on Berlin. Saw chandelier flares, red and green TIs going down, as well as bomb flashes and a small amount of flak. Bomb explosions were enough to shake the hut at times. These raids have been taking place every night recently, and also some in daylight. February the 27th to March the 4th. Life continued more or less as usual, pretty grim all round. Another small cut in the spud ration, bringing it down to about 3/4 of a pound a day. Even salt getting short.
We were visited by a goon general, who is in charge of all prison camps in Germany. He stated that our goon rations could not possibly be increased, as there just wasn't any more food to be had. Even the goons themselves were living on almost the same rations as us. And as to Red Cross parcels, he said that the railways were in such a chaotic condition owing to our bombing, and the petrol shortage was so acute that they just couldn't get them here. These were revealing facts about Germany's situation. He said they would be able to bring them by road if our government would provide the petrol, but up to now they had refused. Well, if that wasn't an admission that they're just about all in, I don't know what is. Why on earth don't they just face the facts and pack up? They've got nothing to gain and everything to lose by carrying on. He stated that they had agreed to release 50 of us because of our good behaviour on the road. But the Führer got annoyed over all the cultural monuments we had destroyed in a big raid on Dresden, and he called it all off. Sounds like a typical bit of goon soft soaping. My stomach must be accustoming itself to this diet, because I'm now finding it possible to save a slice or two of bread a day, to keep by in case of emergency. The soup recently has been of much better quality, mostly peas, thickening and a little bit of meat. The latter has mostly consisted of salted pork, at times pretty high, but funnily enough, the higher it is, the better we like it, as it makes the soup tastier. At home, we'd probably consider it unfit for the dog, but here it goes down well. We save a little bit of it, and most of our spuds, and boil it up in the evening into another soup. Parcel rumours are flying about right and left. Danish parcels, American parcels, from the French, Norwegian fish. We're supposed to be getting them all. But it does seem very probable that we shall be getting something in the very near future. Here's hoping, anyway.
March the 5th to the 14th. This period has certainly been one of the happiest ones spent as a Kriegi, coming as it did after the grimmest 6 weeks I'd ever spent. To start at the beginning, as far as I can remember, we went to a concert given by a Polish choir and a small orchestra one afternoon, given in one of the barracks, using tables as a stage, and it really was excellent. In the evening, we had a chat by the senior British officer, which, among other things, he mentioned that he was very optimistic about the food situation in the future. He also confirmed the rumour that the following day we're to get an issue of half an American parcel per man borrowed from the French, and also that this much rumoured gift of fish from the Norwegians was actually in soak in the cookhouse. This news, of course, put up morale by about 500%, but this was nothing compared to the high spirits the following day, greeting the announcement that there were 50,000 or so parcels at the station addressed to this compound, and that as soon as they could be got up here, there would be an issue of at least one parcel for every man straight away. It was impossible to describe in words the tremendous change in everybody's manner and outlook over the next few days. Well, anyhow, the half issue was scrubbed, and it was a few days before we got our parcel, but, oh boy, it was good to see those parcels. Paddy, Sody, Stan and I decided to muck in together on them, and I drew for being cook for the first week. Our cooking facilities were, and still are, pretty limited. The old chip stove kept going with any old bits of wood and cardboard we can get hold of, but under the circumstances, we're able to cook up some fairly tasty dishes. In fact, we're getting as much, if not more, variety in our food than at Bel Area. The raids on Berlin continue every night. We can nearly set our watches by them, although they're gradually getting later. Several nights we've been able to see the markers going down the flak and the searchlights, and practically every night the old hut has been shaken by the blast of the cookies.
Naturally, Gordon's major interest was on food. Rumours and actual issue of Red Cross parcels dominate his diary. Gordon and his friends came up with unique recipes. Barley goos were a lot of klim, dried milk, and sugar are popular, and when the Norwegian fish finally arrived, it was boiled in margarine and klim. For entertainment, he describes the day and night sight of Allied bombers overhead as a really wizard sight, and a little musical entertainment of two types in the form of a swing session by some of the members of the Music Society of Lower Silesia and a small chamber concert by string quartet were both very good in their own sphere.
March the 22nd to 27th. The weather during the last few days has been really grand. Beautiful, cloudless, quite a bit of time sunbathing outside the hut with next to nothing on. The Mozzie raids continue every night on Berlin, plus several daylight efforts by Forts and Libs. One day we saw some combats taking place overhead, and one bomber, having been hit, head east for the Russian front. Good luck to him. We went to be X-rayed by order of the goons one day. Heaven knows what for at this stage in the war, but still I will say it was about the most efficient piece of organisation I've seen from them yet. They got through 100 chaps in 20 minutes. March the 28th to April the 1st. Big things happening on Thursday. The two group captains, two senior officers and a warrant officer, suddenly given orders to leave for Nuremberg, en route for home. Group Captain Willits later returned and gave the explanation that the reason for repatriation was good behaviour on the march, and that he had been sent back when he got to the gate as an answer to his protests. Parcels still coming in fairly regularly, and we're still feeding fairly well, comparatively speaking, that is to say. The news continues to be excellent. In fact, it all seems almost too good to be true. Air raid warnings become even more frequent, Mozzie raids on the big city at night, and Forts and Libs often seen over during the day.
The soup, on about 3 days a week, is a horrible green, foul-smelling concoction, which the goons call dried vegetable soup, but which we have christened whispering grass or seaweed soup. Still, thank goodness we now have Red Cross stuff to keep us alive. It would certainly be pretty grim here, now on goon rations alone. Soddy is starting work making a stove oven out of Spam tins to operate in the mess. This should be a great asset to save us having to queue up for the main stove or bend over a smoky every time we want to cook anything. During the week we all received a jab which knocked up our arms for a couple of days but had no other adverse effects. April the 2nd to the 9th. The news is getting more exciting every day. At the rate the Yanks are going, they may even get here before Joe, especially as he isn't moving yet. It seems absolutely incredible that they can be moving so fast and meeting so little resistance. Optimism in the camp is terrific, and nobody seems to think it can last more than a few weeks more now. Though I still maintain my original forecast of the end of this month. April the 10th. Spirits were dampened a bit today by an announcement by the Goons that we are to be moved tomorrow to Moosburg near Munich and are to be packed ready by midnight tonight. This caused quite a panic, especially when the Goons, in their usual awkward way, didn't put the lights on. The whole thing annoys us rather, as liberation seems so near, the Allies being only about 60 miles away and still coming. And to us personally, as we have just got nicely organised in the mess with Betsy, our stove, going really well.
In view of the fact that we may not have time for another big meal tomorrow, we decided to bash our cake, nearly as big as the last one, which was to have been tomorrow's sweet, tonight, as well as tonight's sweet, a chocolate blancmange which is itself about the biggest we've ever had yet. Needless to say, the meal really did stump us, and we all had to leave something for the morning. Naturally, with the Allies advancing so rapidly, rumours were very plentiful. But one rather significant one, also confirmed as being pretty reliable, stated that leaflets had been dropped in this area telling the Russian workers that their sorry plight and lack of food was known by the Soviet government, but they would not have to worry for much longer, as forces of the United Nations would be in this area in from about 10 to 14 days' time, which means up to the 22nd of this month. If this is true, let's hope that they find it impossible to move us. There is much speculation going on as to whether they will be able to or not, and if they do, whether it will be better down there as regards liberation, or even whether we might get cut off on the way there. April the 11th and the 12th. The morning of the 11th arrived, and no sign of movement, and no news of what time we are to move, although we are to be ready to move at any time. Consequent upon this uncertainty, we're in a quandary as how to bash our food, as we have divided our store four ways and packed it all away. However, after hanging about all day, we were told in the evening to be ready to move off at 8:30 in the morning. The morning of the 12th of April 1945 turned out very fine, and after doing our final packing and having a fairly substantial breakfast, we went on to the sports field all laden with our kit, which consisted mainly of food, at least two full parcels plus other odds and ends. We first of all had our identity checked, then had to give up any Gashreich property that we had, such as blankets, etc., although Stan managed to get our water jug through okay.